Welcome back to another episode of the Solar Power Hour with William Grant and Austin Bear.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, everyone. We're stoked to have you here on our third installment. Hopefully we sound a little bit better. We've made some updates here in the studio, but new microphones, so hopefully the audio is coming through a little bit clearer to everyone that's listening in.
Absolutely. And we got a name now, Solar Power Hour. What do you
Exactly.
think?
I like it. I think we're established. I think it's firm. I think it sums up what we're doing well, but it's consistent. I like it.
Awesome. So, Austin, what do you think we should talk about today?
It's a good question. I think given, the holiday season, all the hustle and bustle of presents and being with the family and trying to get presents and everything in order, I think, money's definitely on something, or, especially with the rates and, just the way the world is right now, money is on everyone's mind, and more importantly, the money savings and, trying to make your dollar go as far as possible. And so I think, tying that all together, there's insane savings and incentives with solar that I think that, we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't educate and at least spend some good time diving into that and going a little further.
Absolutely. And on that note too, with solar the way it is and how long it's been in the Illinois area, over the last 6 years, we have clients that signed up quite literally a month or two after the program started. And so what I like to look at is those families back in the day that went solar and have already completely paid their system off. They've saved so much money over the past few years that they've been able to reallocate to whatever they need, right? Whether that be Christmas gifts for the kids, college funds, other expenses, but it gives you more freedom to do what you want when you're saving money on a fixed cost that we've never had the option to do anything about earlier, right? The solar programs for Illinois are relatively new.
And just to think the customers that we signed up 5, 6 years ago are, probably no longer looking at a monthly expense that otherwise would have been double or tripled what they would have been paying as current
Absolutely.
day would say. So, and again, just to, on a zooming out aspect of it as well. So focusing in on our local area here, obviously Peoria and the surrounding areas where we truly focus on, but our solar experience has taken us far greater than that. And so we've had the opportunity to go coast to coast. And so just to really be appreciative of what we have here and what Illinois and our legislation provides is these incentives. And I will argue that Illinois, can't say if we're definitively number one, but I would argue that we're in the top three best states in the country right now for solar. And it's simply because how we have it structured. I've done work on the East Coast and West Coast, and obviously, as fate would bring me back home, I'm very happy to say that it's very easy to make solar very feasible here in Illinois. And that's just not something I think a lot of people are aware of per se.
Absolutely. And I think the statistics speak volumes. We were looking the other week about how the increase in solar year after year in Illinois has been greater than any other state possible. And when we first got out here, it was such a taboo thing because we do live in the Midwest and we don't have as many hours of sun as somewhere like Florida or Colorado, but what we do have are amazing state level incentives that have been available for people for the last 6 years. And that makes one heck of a difference. And they're still around. The state level funding is supposed to be funded until 2030, which we'll talk more about that in a little bit. And then the federal tax credit, as it sits right now, is still available for people. But one of the things that is happening is legislation changes, right?
Correct.
We have a new administration going into office, so we can't, be certain about the tax credit staying around. Same thing with funding with the state. We both ran into a situation where the state level funding ran out because of COVID, and they weren't able to meet that year. So basically, the funding was just disappeared for a year.
Right. I mean, if that's not a testament to the solar coaster in a nutshell, but then also just, how adaptable I would say that we've been able to be with, the last 6 years. Me personally, I've been here for 4 out of the 6 years, but even before that, I mean, it was kind of inevitable. But again, Illinois was not the first state to really have this impact in a sense and with legislation. So, we weren't the guinea pigs in a sense, but there is a true idea that history does repeat itself. And so you coming into Illinois, you probably saw a lot of that beforehand, or you kind of had a good idea of what was going to be happening here. And so it is very real to see, what you guys came in saying was going to happen versus what modern day families are now experiencing. And it is real.
Absolutely. And when we're lucky, the tax credit got extended back in the day. At this point in time, as it was set forth years ago, it would already be gone. There wouldn't even be a tax credit, that 30% tax credit. And honestly, without that incentive, it would be very hard to show the financials for someone who isn't looking very long term in the future.
Right.
Because if you think about, getting 30% off of something at that magnitude, it does make a huge difference. So let's talk a little bit about how the federal tax credit works, or the ITC, investment tax credit, works.
Correct. And so just for everyone listening at home, great thing about this, just for everyone's sake, it was at a decreasing metric. Mm-hmm. It started off at 30%, reduced down to 26% after a couple of years, and then was scheduled to go down to 22%, et cetera, over the last couple of years, it was actually revamped back up to 30%, which is where it has plateaued. And so just for everyone's sake of understanding, 30% of your entire project cost comes back to you as a true dollar for dollar tax credit. There is no limitation to that. It is obviously based off of your federal taxable liability. But the idea is that no matter how large or small your system may be, 30% of it across the board is going to be immediately given back to you. And so, I mean, in retrospect, that's not even considering the other incentives, but that's huge right off the get-go.
Sure. Let's dive a little deeper on the tax credit thing. So with the investment tax credit, there are some stipulations, and this is something that can happen to homeowners where they actually won't qualify to get solar through us, is if they don't have the taxable liability. Now, right. What do we mean by taxable liability? So most people in the U.S. work a W-2 job, right? You're getting taxes withheld from your paycheck month after month, or every 2 weeks, or however often you get paid. And the idea is that at the end of the year, you sum up with Big Brother. And they're like, okay, well, here is a standard deduction based on if you're married, how many kids you have, all these deductions that they give you. And so for the average home, I would say that they sum up, and then Big Brother is like, oh, actually, we took a little too much. So then they give you that refund, right? But that doesn't mean that they aren't keeping all the other money they took out of your check for that whole year.
Right.
And so the idea with the investment tax credit is that you're actually able to recoup all that extra money that they took and put it into your home, because it benefits the entire country. Now, whether that be on the job aspect, on the pollution aspect, on the economic aspect. So that's the reason why that tax credit exists. And I like to use the analogy of comparing it to children, right? Children, you get a tax credit on them because they are our future. Essentially what's happening is Big Brother is saying, hey, look, we're going to give you this amount of money back to help build your kids up, so your family has more money because you now have another mouth to feed and someone else in the household. And so that's a good way to look at it. I will say that some people, everyone's situation is different. And that's why we do the in-home consultations. That's why we spend so much time with homeowners, is because we want people to get the most back in the quickest span of time possible. Because the sooner you get the paid off, the better you're going to feel, the better your family is going to be. And so there are different situations. Now, you can roll over the tax credit. So let's say, Austin, you sum up your taxes in the year, mm-hmm. and you have a $15,000 tax credit for solar, and you only paid in around $5,000 after all the deductions and stuff. So essentially what happens there?
So if I've got $15K annually going into Big Brother, and my federal tax credit on my system is $5,000, that means that after my first year of receiving the federal tax credit, I'd get $5,000, because that's what my taxable liability would be. And then the two following years, I'd get another $5,000 mm-hmm. each year. And so again, I receive the federal tax credit back until the total amount of whatever the tax credit is. So again, in that case, it would be the total of 3 years.
Absolutely. And there's another situation, right? So if you're a business owner that pays quarterly, or if you are an independent contractor and you're only paying your taxes into the end of the year, and we run into that situation quite often. And so at the end of the day, it's that you were going to pay taxes on that large sum of money. So let's say you owe $30,000 at the end of the year and you have a $15,000 tax credit. So the idea would be that you only have to pay Big Brother $15K, right? And there's a give and a take with that. And I think you ran into this as well. But with most people in the U.S. getting that tax credit back as a refund, essentially, from the federal government, and then you go to the other side and then a person gets it deducted from what they actually owe, there's a perception shift there. And they're not too happy about it typically either, because they're like, well, I thought you got a check from the federal government. I'm like, kind of, right? You're not having to pay that whole $30,000, instead you're only paying $15,000. So then you take that money you were going to allocate, because we know the only thing that's true in this country is death and taxes.
100%.
Right? So you're not going to get away from having to pay that money unless you take that tax credit money and then reapply it to your system, or just not have to pay that income tax as well. So that is a different little situation. On the tax credit, I will say that at the beginning of this year, nonprofits can now get a refundable tax credit. So in the past, nonprofits could not take advantage of the tax credit because they don't pay any taxes on the federal level. Mm. And so now they're able to get an actual check for based on what the 30% of the system cost is back to them as a check from essentially the taxpayers.
That's huge.
Yeah, that is really, really awesome, because I know in the past we tried to help out so many churches, so many different nonprofits. And without something like a power purchase agreement or us as the company owning that system, the return on investment does not look as well for them. But now it's great. And it's been amazing to be working with these nonprofits here recently.
So in layman's terms, I mean the federal tax credit, and the way I explain it to my homeowners whenever I'm at their table is that rather than this money going to Big Brother, which it typically would be regardless out of your paycheck, and in Illinois we're no strangers to the poor potholes that we have around here. So rather than this money going to Big Brother and going to fix a pothole that probably doesn't actually ever even get fixed, you are now taking this money back that you were already going to be paying in regardless. So you're getting your own money back, but you're now putting it towards an
Right.
asset on your property as opposed to just not having anything to show for it. And so it is truly a win-win situation. But then when you look at the overall longevity of solar and what you're actually adding, it's a huge thing that we have 30%. I mean, again, it's phenomenal.
Yep. And it does roll over year after year. And so there's a lot of benefits to that. The concern would be with the new administration coming on board that there could be some changes to that. And that's why with solar in general, we're going to talk about the rest of the incentives, but the best time to plant a tree is 5 years ago, right? And same thing with solar. Best time to go solar is 6 years ago. And obviously we can't live in the past. So when's the
Right.
best time to go solar?
Today.
Exactly. Because all these things like the power rates increasing, all the new taxes and fees at the bottom of the electricity bill, administration changes, funding changes, even governors or mayors change, like all these things can happen pretty much within the course of a year. And so the idea is that if you want to be ahead of the eight ball, you just get ahead of the eight ball. You make the decision to sit down, learn as much as you can, and if you qualify, it's very advantageous to take advantage of it. You know, the numbers, the interest rates, labor costs, all these things do affect the return on investment, but I promise you one thing, power rates don't go down. It's very rare that you'll have a 5 year plan to reduce the cost of anything. Like, look at what Walmart prices are, or look at what anything is. Inflation is very much so upon us. And with Illinois and its vast changes they're trying to make to the state, as far as going 25% renewable by the end of this next year, 2025, and then going 100% by 2050, that is a lot of infrastructure change. There's a lot of money going out from the people, the consumers, right?
Right.
That all comes out from your bottom of your power bill and part of your power bill on that taxes and fees section. And so one thing to mention there is there are so many programs around Illinois to help the solar programs as well as help consumers, right? So at the bottom of your power bill, and if you go back and look 3 years ago, there were like a couple of taxes and fees. Now we're up to like 10. And then there's still 12 more taxes and fees that they're going to try to add on here in the future as they roll out new budget changes. And so all of those are typically to fund different programs. You know, there's one for jobs, it's one for replacing people that work in like coal mines and this, that, and the other, and replacing them into the renewable energy sector, or moving them into it.
One of the ones I love to show my customers, again, if you go specifically onto the part of the bill he was mentioning, it's the state and local taxes and other mandated fees. And so it's on the second page, all the way down at the bottom. And it's specifically the fourth one down. And you can tell I look at these every once in a while. But the renewable energy adjustment has been on our bill here for Ameren customers for the last, I would say, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now at this point. That is directly going to where our state incentive comes from. And so what I love to back calculate for people, whether you have solar or not, you can actually calculate how much you've been contributing into these programs, whether or not you have panels. And so I love to be able to tell people, whether or not you do this or it makes sense, that's okay. It's no skin off anyone's back, but everyone is contributing into the funding and for the pool of funding that, everyone does get this incentive out of. And I do think that, again, not a lot of people are necessarily aware of that, but everyone knows that their bills are going up, but it's very important to know why.
Yeah. Well, there's an interesting aspect there too. And when we're talking about savings, it's not only just the supply portion is going up because that is going up. It's not only the delivery portion that's going up because that is going up. It's also the tax and the fees. So you're actually getting hit from three different angles. But the interesting thing about your power bill and what happens when you go solar is that most of these taxes and fees, as well as your supply and your delivery, are based on how much power you draw from the grid. And so that's how we're able to save people money, is because if you're either producing the power yourself, storing it with a battery and using it in your home and drawing very little, if any, power from the grid, you're able to eliminate all of those things on your bill and just pay like the customer charge or meter charge and then the fixed state or county taxes. And so that's the idea, is that if you can get rid of all of those power draws, then you're not having to pay for everybody else to go solar. You're not having to pay all these things, you're doing it yourself. And that's the idea of the independence with power that we offer people, and also owning the system and getting that savings as well. Because at the end of the day, you're going to sell it like any other investment, right? When you sell your house, if that day comes, you are going to get a return on investment through the equity in your home because you own the system with our company, right?
And so, again, just with that being said, so big keyword there is ownership. Mm-hmm. And so, again, outright, you own the system. And so with that being said, with you being the owner, I'm going to use this to segue into the next incentive, but the state incentive. And that's a huge component of, again, why this is so feasible. What do our customers get through our state incentive?
So it depends on the production of the system. So it is a production-based incentive. It has a few different names. It has the Illinois Shines Program, which is their marketing name for it. It has the SREC, or Solar Renewable Energy Credit Program. Fundamentally, the idea with that is that different companies and power companies can buy these credits from consumers to say that they are going a certain amount renewable, right? So let's say you're a big company like Google or Amazon, and you want to say, hey, I'm going to try to do this amount of renewable energy for my company, right? Like with Amazon and all these AI facilities. So they could essentially buy these credits on the open market and say that my company has this much renewable energy. Mm-hmm. And those, each one of those credits is just a megawatt hour or 1,000 kilowatt hours. Mm-hmm. So what the Illinois state incentive looks like, and the really interesting thing about it and what they've been doing over the last 6 years, is they actually calculate how many of these SRECs or credits that you're going to produce over 15 years, and they pay you for that upfront, which is unheard of. And that's why we actually moved to the States, because we knew how amazing this incentive was going to be for consumers.
And how do they pay you upfront for that?
So there is a lot of paperwork, but we handle 90% of that. You have to get approved. We have to submit all the documentation. But at the end of the day, you get a check for it that then you can apply to your system, right? And it can take anywhere from 6 to 18 months, depending on how the program's moving, the administration, all these things.
And what portion, given a parameter, just a rough parameter, but what portion of someone's system? So the federal tax credit's around 30%. So that's one entity. But then stacking on the state incentive, what portion or percentage would you say the state incentive typically covers around?
It can be anywhere from 25 to 45% because it is based on the production of the system. So if you have a home with a bunch of trees, that can affect it. If you're having to do electrical upgrades and things like that for your home, obviously that's not going to be covered by that. So the percentage there changes of the offset. East-west facing, we really hardly ever put panels on the north side of people's homes just because the production value isn't really there. But on the southern facing homes, that's where you get the optimal output. And especially if we can put it on the house and it's just one big flat plane on the roof, that works out the best. And then also, if you're going to do a ground mount, there is an added cost of doing a ground mount. We have to build an external structure, do all the trenching. And so that can affect the return on investment. But at least that ground mount would be facing south.
Ground mount numbers look amazing. If you have a property that is either farming or non, but you have acreage or just enough land to do a ground mount, the numbers are staggering. If you have a giant south-facing structure, you are equally fine. Even east to west facing is still beautiful, given that you're not covered in trees. The point is that Illinois, and I'm going to touch back on what I said earlier when I said that Illinois is arguably one of the best states in the country for solar right now, and it's because of this incentive that we're currently going over. The timeline in which Illinois is returning this incentive back to its customers falls pretty parallel with the federal tax credit in a lot of instances, and that's huge. When we were working on the East Coast, there was a structured incentive, but it was, or incentive that structured similarly, but there was a major aspect that I would say is different. Again, getting a check for anywhere from $8,000 to $20,000 in the mail in one lump sum to be able to turn around and put towards your system cost is one thing. On the East Coast, they took the same amount of money, but then they spread it out quarterly over the course of 15 years.
Right.
And so, again, going to complete apples to apples situation, if you don't know, you don't know. But again, given where our travels have taken us, to be able to come back to Illinois and to be able to show the numbers that we're able to show and see the way that we have it structured here, there is currently no other state that has what Illinois does. And so, again, we can only scream it from the mountaintops. Again, that's everyone listening. Again, this is the point of this podcast, is just so that this information can reach more ears. But we do not realize how well we have it structured right now. The Illinois Shines program, again, the early bird does get the worm. And for what it's worth, the incentive was higher 5 years ago, and this is not meant to be discouraging, but it is the reality of the situation. People were, I would say, leery almost at first. That was a very hard part of when we first started off, was just people being a little leery of how much money was potentially being thrown around. But with all good things, you know, as time progresses, people started receiving their checks from the state. People's systems were installed and working. So more people found faith or just began to trust the process a lot more. Mm-hmm. The funding pool has only gone down, though. And so one of the biggest misconceptions that I don't want my customers or people to have is that if we wait out longer, that maybe more money will get pumped into this. And right. I don't think that that's, again, I mean, knock on wood, I would love to be wrong on that, but over the last 5, if not 6 years, it's only shown a progression of decreasing the funding. Not to say that people still can't get over 60 to 90%, if not more, of their system covered, but the worst time to do this is going to be in another 3 to 4 to 5 years.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the fundamental idea with solar programs like that. So the idea is that 6 years ago, very, very little people in the state of Illinois had solar, right? And then there was no incentives. And so the idea is these big incentives get people to start going solar. As the incentives drop away, and then the power rates go up, and then just the public perception of solar keeps increasing. Because you, everyone here in central Illinois, you've seen your neighbors have solar. You see that it's real. You know that it works. Mm. It's just some people just don't understand exactly how it works and the different nuances of companies. But the idea is as the programs drop away, people still continue to go solar based on how the power rates look, how their friends and family are feeling about it. But that's just the idea, is that you're going to drop the incentives away as more and more people go solar. So that was by design. And that's why we do batteries, right? So that's the idea of the program as well. They are incentivizing batteries to be installed on people's homes, due to the idea of storing the energy in that neighborhood and letting it out at the high demand or the peak times of the day. And that's quite literally where we're at today. And the power demand is getting higher. When you look at time of use rates and where those power companies are going, mm-hmm. the idea of storing that energy and letting it out when we really need it, when the grid is distressed, mm-hmm. it's very, very important that we take advantage of all these programs. And the battery one is a very, very good one, but there are some nuances to it.
Absolutely. And so with that being said, you know, most, I would argue, residential systems around here are going to be on a 1 to 2 battery basis. Once you start looking into maybe, you know, some exceptionally large systems or, you know, more backup, you know, 3 batteries plus can be needed. But again, for what we're dealing with around here now, AC coupling and DC coupling is a major aspect of that. And one of the incentives is offered. I think that there might be some nuances or, again, some misconceptions. And so, again, I guess I'll kind of let you take the lead on this one for a little bit. But what is one of the biggest things that we've learned and that we've actually been able to dial in, or I would say know that we're doing correctly moving forward, that a lot of companies may not necessarily or be in a gray area on?
Absolutely. The biggest thing is, and just trying to put this in layman's terms, AC coupled or DC coupled batteries. The idea is that Ameren is giving you an incentive if you get a DC coupled battery. All that means is that that battery can only charge from the solar system and then be inverted from the solar system to your home's needs. And then any excess can be sent back to the grid. But the idea with that is that you can't charge it from the grid. We only do AC coupled batteries because you can charge that battery from the grid at a lower cost point time and let it out at a higher cost point time, opposed to being stuck with just the system. Because right. like, let's say we have a spring like we did a few years ago and there's just no sunlight for a while, or there's snow on the panels, or this, that, and the other. We don't ever want to put our customers at a disadvantage.
So what you're saying is someone or homeowners would either A, be able to get a little bit more money, but then a far less efficient system mm-hmm. with their battery, or B, not have an incentive, but have a far better operating battery system for the next 30 years, give or take.
Exactly. And gotcha. So you got to think about from the company's standpoint. When I say the company, I mean the power companies, right? If they are looking to give you a check up front, right, the state level incentive is different, but the power company itself is going to give you some money back as a rebate. Why would they do that? Why would they give you money up front for you to pick one of two batteries? It's because they know that over the course of the next 30 years to come, you are going to spend more money with them if you can't charge that battery from the grid, opposed to being able to charge the battery from the grid. And when you look at the system cost and the return on investment for batteries, it's pennies on the dollar what they're offering you. But they're trying to put the carrot in there so they can give you the stick later, right? Right. And that's the idea of going with a company that really knows what they're talking about and really knows what they're doing.
I was going to say, and this is for people that know the difference. And now that's not even discussing the realm of opportunities for people that don't know the difference, or for companies or representatives, you know, for solar or backup renewable energy that don't necessarily know these details and very easily could be setting someone up with a system that they might think that they're qualified for an incentive or might be able to couple the grid in a different way. And so again, I would dare say that this is where our training and just the knowledge that we've gone over the last 2 months is going to be like just hold magnitudes moving forward into 2025.
Yep. And another incentive that they do offer is a smart inverter rebate. Mm-hmm. They've been offering that for quite a while, but what it does is it essentially gets you off of the program that was around. And at the end of the day, that program's not around anymore. So we are taking advantage of the smart inverter rebate that does help get a little bit of return on investment with that battery quicker. You still get the tax credit on the battery, which is awesome. So that's a huge plus for consumers. So you still get that 30%. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, and touching back on the tax credit for a second, anything you do to go solar will be covered by that tax credit without a roof. Essentially, if you need a whole roof, then that's, you know, a whole different area of taxes and things like that. But for the most part, if you need electrical upgrades, if you need to do a main panel upgrade, all these things that you have to do to go solar can be covered by that 30% tax credit, which is amazing for consumers.
100%. I've had a lot of homeowners that are actually stoked, or they've been in positions where, you know, that whole old 100 amp panel's been, you know, it's been a to-do project for the last 6-7 years at this point. And so if you can wrap it all into, you know, a brand new panel and have 30% of it kicked back to you, and most of the time that's never going to, you don't have too many opportunities to do so. Mm-hmm. One of the last ones that I do want to make sure that we get a chance to talk about is for our farmers out there. And this is a huge incentive that I think that needs to be known, but we do definitely help farmers look into the REAP grants that are available. And so this one I would definitely say is more on the selective side. There's a process on the back end, but for the farmers that we've been able to help with this grant writing process, I would dare say that it's been monumental for them. Absolutely. And so all three of the incentives that we've discussed thus far, the federal tax credits, 30% on its own. The state incentive is roughly about anywhere from 20 to 40% on its own, given the production of your system. And then there's the battery incentive as well. And so just on a rough number, I would say, you know, give 60 to 70% off those three alone for subsidies. Again, that's those three. For farmers, and again, given that they fit the criterion, I believe it's roughly 50%, give or take, if not less, somewhere around there. But
there's a whole scoring criteria. And so the REAP grant is, the idea is to build up rural communities, and they have a map online, and right. It is a federal-based grant. And for those of you out there that have ever worked with the federal government on grants before, know what that means,
right.
The difficulties that lie within. The idea is that they're building up the rural communities, especially farmers and businesses. And the idea is that you have to do all this paperwork. You have to apply. And then after you apply, then we can start on the project. You have to apply before you can even touch ground on anything with the project, taking cash from the consumer, getting a financing, anything like that. So we have to make sure you apply first. At the end of the day, it is a process. So typically, and we all like to think we really care about money until it comes down to like a really long grant writing form. So if you have a really small system and you're just a small farming operation or a small business operation, typically people decide to opt out of it because the scoring criteria can also be affected by the size of the system. But for a nice, you know, size system or a nice size operation, and you're in that defined area by the federal government, it is highly advantageous to take advantage of it. And it can be 20%, it can be 10%, it can be 50%. That's all based on the scoring criteria,
right.
What your business looks like, how much of your actual income comes from the business, what the business does, what the system's going to be able to offer. There's all these different things. When I say it's a federal grant, it's a federal grant. I mean, it's a stack of paperwork about right. That big that the customer or the consumer needs to use and do, because we can't do all that paperwork for you like we can the state level incentive.
Correct. But I would dare argue for my generational farmers out there and for the future generational farmers, the idea of having 3 to 4 decades of energy independence and backup, yes, that little stack of paper is a pain in the you know what, but the idea that we have the ability to help facilitate that, and that there are instances where we've been able to put massive systems up that have been darn near almost 100%, if not more than 100% subsidized, that's insane. And again, Illinois, I would argue, is one of the only states that that can happen in. Obviously, we have our farmers out here. So thank you to all of our farmers, especially finishing up harvest season. So you guys definitely do a lot for us, but just know that there's a lot that we can do for you guys as well. And this grant, again, there's some, you know, stipulations that go behind it and a lot of paperwork, but we help you guys do that as well. But it is definitely something worth looking into. And so again, between federal tax credit, the state incentive, battery rebate, REAP grants that are available as well. Again, there's even additional tax strategies and whatnot. So again, the list is out there. And again, there's check boxes for everyone. And that's, again, what our job is to do, is to, you know, give those consultations and figure out what we can offer people and what the state and federal can offer people as well. But I don't think people realize what a perfect storm we're kind of sitting in right now for, you know, what they have available.
Absolutely. And so there's a risk and a reward thing, and the risk is very, very small, but in people's heads and conception, there's a bigger risk. With taking out that much capital to do something like a solar system or getting finances and being on the hook. But this is not the first year we've been doing this. This is 6 years down the road, and our reputation speaks volumes for our company. And so the idea of taking advantage of these programs and offsetting the long-term goal, and there is a little risk there, but the reward is so great. And while we're talking about farmers, I do want to touch on depreciation, which is one of those tax strategies you were talking about.
Absolutely.
So with the idea of depreciation, and all my business owners and farmers out there love that word, because essentially what you're doing is taking the total cost of that system, getting a percentage of that that you can use as a deduction. Now, deduction is not the same as a tax credit, right? But let's say you make $200,000 a year, $100,000 a year, and you get a $20,000 deduction. All that means is you're going to get that $20,000 off of that total amount that you're paying taxes on. So if it's 100K, it's going to be 80K. And so that saves quite a bit of taxes, especially when you start falling into those higher tax brackets, like the 37%. And when you're deducting, let's say $80,000, that's a lot of money at a 37% tax bracket. And those can run year after year, same thing as a lot of deductions can. And so that involves getting your CPA, your personal CPA, your business CPA involved, to where they can help explain and figure out the best tax strategy for you. By no means are we CPAs, but we've been doing this long enough to where we can give you a very clear idea of what you need to explain or even talk. I mean, how many CPAs have you talked to over your years?
Enough.
Yeah. So it's just calling up. Customers need us to call their CPAs and talk to them. We're more than happy to do so and help explain things and provide documentation and information. But we always just want to make it as easy as possible, because it should not be this overbearing thing for people to make this decision. Mm. And even talking about going into Christmas, you know, this is one of the harder times of the year to get people to make the commitment to go solar, only because they're concerned that it's going to affect their holiday plans. It's going to affect their money that they have available to spend on their children or do things. And at the end of the day, with most people, they don't pay cash, you know, and it also takes us 3 months to get you installed depending on your jurisdiction. So the idea is, if you go solar in this month, you'll actually be set up very, very nicely for the spring, because then you're going to get that overproduction. You're going to use that energy, and your system's going to be operational for the summer when most of people's peak bills are.
I was going to say, that took the words right out of my mouth. That's there's never a bad time to go solar, but there is always an opportune time to do it. And so arguably, I would dare say that one of the best times to have your system get turned on is right at the beginning of the spring / summer production cycle. And so for anyone that's been thinking about doing this, you know, panels don't go up for, you know, a little bit of time still. So the idea is having your system up and operational and beating the whole winter curve. But then as soon as things start getting nice out, you're already up and running. And so again, now is, as always, the perfect time to go solar.
Absolutely. And we're running out of time here, so I do want to touch on a couple of different things really quickly. There are other incentives available for people depending on jurisdictions. There are special grant programs depending on what city you are in. And that's something we specialize in. We do take a look at those things and see if there's anything else you are able to take advantage of. And it happens seldomly, but there are things out there. I just did a install in East Peoria, and Tazewell County has something for commercial systems where you don't have to pay sales tax on the product that you buy for that system install. Mm. And so it was actually able to save them around 9% on the install cost because of that incentive they have there. So there's all kinds of little things out there that we keep our eyes on, but I think that's going to be pretty much it for this episode, unless you have anything else to add.
No, I think we covered a fair amount. Thank you guys for tuning in. We do appreciate Absolutely. It. But that would be the third installment of the Solar Power Hour.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys next week, and hopefully we'll have our first special guest.